Well, we are studying Romans 12 on Sunday morning for a few weeks, but we're studying it in more detail in our life groups. And if you're not part of a life group, you can pick up a sheet in the bookstore that just kind of lists when and where and who and what and all that kind of stuff. If you're not a part of a life group, I encourage you to be a part of one. I think you'll find it very beneficial to your own understanding of Romans 12 and application and also your own spiritual growth. Now, for those who were here last time, and I mentioned the issue with Chip Ingram with the stick. Okay, now that you watched since I've highlighted that, you're looking for it every time now, aren't you? You're watching that. And so congratulations, I've ruined the clip for you. Because I found myself, when I turned around, I was listening to him, sort of, but I was just waiting for the moment when he got to the stick. I was saying, now let me look at that one more time. Is he putting that back or is he... Well, every person, without exception, consciously or unconsciously, are always seeking the answer to three fundamental questions. You are asking these three questions about yourself all the time, whether you know it or not. And the three questions are, who am I? And this deals with your identity. Where do I belong? This deals with your security. And what am I supposed to do? And this deals with your significance. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're in the prime of life or just entering into adulthood or you're still a student or you're on the opposite end of being an adult. We're always asking these questions, evaluating and reframing and rethinking these questions as seasons of life move as we move through the seasons of life. How we answer these three questions, now listen, how we answer these three questions forms the basis of how we live out our lives. This is fundamental and this is important. For example, take the first question, who am I? This refers to how we generally think of ourselves and tend to introduce ourselves. For example, I might say something. If you say, if somebody were to ask, okay, Jeff, who are you? I might say, well, I'm a pastor. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I like to do this. I like to do that. And then when we start introducing ourselves to others, it's usually not about who we really are. It's more about what we do. You know, it's about... I'm a father, that's what I do. You know, I'm a pastor, that's what I do. But there's a part of us when we're answering that question to others that's in our head that sometimes we don't verbalize, and it's really not about what we do, it's really who we think we are. For some of you, if you answer the question, who are you, you may kind of go negative, meaning, in your mind, you think thoughts like this. You may not even be aware you're doing it, but you think of yourself as dysfunctional. You think of yourself as a loser. You think of yourself as a burden on others. You think of yourself as of no value, you know? And so your identity is really messed up. And because of how you see yourself, that will determine how you behave. And if we get the right view of ourselves, we can see ourselves the way God sees us, it will change the way we treat others and we treat ourselves and we view life. It's transforming. It's transformational. And remember, Romans chapter 12, it starts off by saying to us, you know, God needs to change the way we do what? Think. Romans 12, verse 2. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And the reason why many of us continue to stay in certain patterns that are hurtful and harmful is because we have this, we don't understand who we really are. And if we can change our thinking about who we are and think of ourselves properly, it will change what we do. And we can have a breakthrough in our life. The second question we all ask is, where do I belong? This question deals with security, and when we belong to something or are part of a group in some way, it provides a sense of belonging and security in some way. And And there's nothing wrong with this, with wanting to belong. I mean, you know, we all want to be a part of a group. For example, for those of you who are part of Genesis, you know, I mean, you're proud of that, man. You know, I'm a partner. I'm a part of Genesis, man. I love this church. You know, I love the people. I love going. I invite my friends, my family. I want them to come. I mean, you know, you carry the mug. It says Genesis. You wear the T-shirt. It says Genesis. You got a hat. It says Genesis. You know what I'm saying? You took a can of spray paint. You sprayed the side of your car. It says Genesis. And if you were to take off your shirt, you got a tattoo right in the middle of your chest. It says Genesis Church, just like Ben does. Hey, stand up. Take your shirt off. Why don't you show me your tattoo?
Next time?
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. But we always want to belong, you know, and we do this with schools, and we do this with organizations, and we do this with clubs, and even non-official groups. You know, this is the group I eat with at lunch, those kinds of things. You know, just we want to be a part of groups, and this is all part of wanting to belong. You're wired that way. God created you that way. But sometimes, even when we're part of organizations and groups, we still struggle with, where do I belong? Where do I fit in, you know? And if you don't have a place to fit in, if you feel like an outcast, you have a tendency to go through life insecure. And God wants you to be confident. He wants you to know exactly where you belong. And if you can nail down who you are and where you belong, you begin filling in some huge gaps in your life, and you begin to discover who you really are and where you belong. And that leads us to the next question, which is, what am I supposed to do with my life? Why am I on this planet? Why did God make me? Now, there's been a lot of people over time trying to answer all three of these questions, but I want to tell you, if you can wrestle with these three questions in your own personal life, it will transform you, but you got to wrestle with it correctly. And the correct way of wrestling with it is making sure you have a biblical perspective, God's perspective on these three questions with your life. And that's what Romans 12 is going to do for us. But before we get to Romans 12 and we take a look briefly at these three questions and what Romans 12 has to say to us about them, we need to really wrestle with, why do we have a hard time answering these questions? Why is it so difficult for people to answer the question, who are you? Who are you? I mean, who's the real you? You know, what is it that you're supposed to be doing in life? I mean, why are you on this planet? You know, where do you belong? Where do you really fit in? You know, tough questions, good questions, transformational type questions. So why do we struggle with this? Well, God answers this. If you got an outline, I would encourage you to use it, or you can take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. But anyway, the Bible talks about at the very beginning, you got Adam and Eve, and sin has already entered into mankind, and we're going to pick up the scene here. And so in verse 7, it says this. This is what the Bible says. Now remember, we're talking about this moment. What are the barriers? What hinders us from answering the questions in our own life? You know, who am I? You know, why am I here? Where do I belong? And what am I supposed to do? The Bible says, at that moment, again, when they disobeyed God and sinned for the first time, at that moment, their eyes were open. Oh, and by the way, as we read through this, I want you to listen to the language that deals with shame and insecurity and denial that's happening here. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied, "and that's why I ate it." Well, in that encounter with God, we see three barriers to discovering the real you and answering these three significant questions and who am I, where do I belong, and what am I supposed to do? The first barrier is our fear rooted in shame. Let's talk about this just a moment. We're told that Adam and Eve felt shame and were afraid and they hid themselves. And this is what we do. We feel shame for our sin or our own weaknesses or our dysfunctions and our thoughts. And we feel this shame and we become afraid of what God will think about us. And so in some ways what will happen is we will, because of our life, because we're not doing what we think God wants us to do and because we are messing up, what will happen is we'll avoid anything that has God attached to it. So a lot of times people will avoid the Bible, they'll avoid church, they'll avoid other Christians, they'll avoid anything of that nature because in their mind they're saying, you know what, I have blown it, I'm ashamed of what I'm doing, I know it's wrong, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. And so they just, out of that fear of what God may do to them or what God may say, and out of that shame, they'll hide from God. First of all, they have a warped perspective of God, because I do want you to notice this. In this encounter with Adam and Eve, when they had sinned, and God, by the way, these are not questions God is asking that's informational, meaning, oh, God is not going, well, I wonder where Adam went. No, these are not questions for God to answer. These are questions for Adam and Eve to answer. Adam, where are you? Where do you belong, Adam? You know, those kinds of questions. And he's wanting Adam and Eve to deal with this. But here's what I want you to notice real quick. When God showed up after they had sinned, let me ask you this. Does God appear angry at all? Is he bringing down fire and brimstone on them? No. Is he bringing out the belt of punishment on them at this moment? Is he in a rage? No. He's come. He knows what's happened. And he's asking these questions, which are actual loving questions, gracious questions, because he wants them to confront what they've done in order to be able to experience restoration. This is an act of grace. And so when you are afraid of God because of your own sin, you're the one that's hiding from God. You're the one that's running from God. God is not trying to hide from you, and he's not running from you, and he's not trying to chase you down so he can, you know, open a can of whooping on you. That's not what's happening here. He wants transformation. He wants you to experience the abundant life. And so the first barrier why we can't answer these three questions is our own fear rooted in shame because of what we've done. The second barrier is our hiding rooted in insecurity, which is very similar to the first one. But I want you to take a look at two significant statements. The first one is this. We are told they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Now, there's more going on here than just hiding their private parts. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism happening here as well. One moment, their relationship had no shame, no embarrassment, no secrets. Now they are insecure with one another, and so they have to hide behind fig leaves. The second statement we're told, they hid from the Lord God among the trees. So the day before, they were confident in their relationship with God, and they enjoyed him. They did not fear him. And now all of a sudden, their relationship is different. Everything has changed. And this is what sin does. Because of our fear and shame and because of our insecurities, what will happen is we are afraid, I've got to mask myself. I've got to cover my weaknesses. I've got to cover my sins. I've got to hide them. Because if I were to really expose myself to God, if I really were to open up to God, then he is going to reject me because I'm a horrible person. You know, I lie, I cheat, I have immoral thoughts, I do this, I do that, I've done this and I've done that, and all, whatever's going on in your mind. And we not only treat God that way, even though we know up here, even though we know God knows everything, There's still this something about us that wants to hide among the trees. And the trees could be, I'm just going to be busy. I've got my own life to live. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to pretend. Whatever trees you're hiding behind, whatever that tree represents, you know, you're just trying to keep yourself at distance from God. But we also do this with people. We will hide ourselves behind fig leaves. And the fig leaves can represent all kinds of stuff. It can just be a smile. It can be just pretending that everything's okay. Or it could be we don't want people to know what we really struggle with. Now, I'm not talking about removing the fig leaves and just standing in front of a group of people and saying, here's all my dirty laundry. I'm talking about the people in your life that God is using, and even your spouse, or even with your children, or your parents, or your brothers and sister, or brothers and sisters in Christ, in a life group of people you trust, and you're wanting to let God use them to transform you, and vice versa. And as long as we keep the fig leaves, the mask covering ourselves, you're never going to experience the real transformation that God wants to bring about. Now, this is risky. And that's why it feels so insecure. Because I wish I could tell you that when you are sharing and you're sitting down and you're studying the Bible and you're praying with others, you're doing ministry, and there's a point that comes up and it's appropriate and you say, you know what, I struggle with this, whatever this is. You just opened yourself up. You removed the fig leaf. You stepped from behind the tree. Here I am. And you're taking a risk on how the people are going to respond. I wish I could say that everybody was going to respond great. I wish I could say that everybody is not going to reject you, or that they're not going to have weird thoughts about you, or, you know, you share something and all of a sudden they become afraid of you. You know, I wish I could say none of that would happen. But I can promise you this. There might be one or two that will do that. The majority of the believers in your life, they're going to embrace you. And actually, it's going to be relief that when you share, they'll be relieved. And it might cause them to open up a little bit more. Is this making sense? And when you open up, it's going to feel awkward, because most believers, when they're journeying together, they like to keep it superficial, they like to keep it shallow, they like to keep it safe because of the shame and the insecurity, and we just want to hide and keep all our problems here and our weaknesses all up here. When in reality, God designed us to open all that up and say, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I can't fix this on my own. I can't get out of this hole I'm in on my own. Well, these are barriers that keeps us from asking the or answering the question honestly, who am I, why am I here, and all these things. A third barrier is our blaming rooted in denial. God asked Adam and Eve four questions. He asked, where are you? Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I've commanded you not to eat? And what have you done? Now, like I said, these are not God seeking information type questions. These are diagnostic questions that he wants Adam and Eve to wrestle with regarding themselves. God is wanting Adam and Eve to confront their disobedience and their own brokenness. And you're going to have to do the same. For transformation to happen, for that life change to happen, you have to be able to look at yourself and honestly evaluate who you really are. Strengths, weaknesses, limitations, past, your present, all the things going on in your life. But this blaming rooted in denial, I want you to notice that when God started asking these questions, man, they started denying what was going on here. I mean, think about it. You know, he's basically saying, okay, what did y'all do and why did you do it? And Adam, I mean, he's classy. He's good. Well, God, it's really your fault. And if this was a conversation, God would say, oh, really? Let's talk about that. Why is it my fault? Well, you created her, and you gave her to me. And then she gave me the fruit to eat. So as I'm thinking about the chain reaction here, God, it's really not my fault. And I see y'all kind of conspiring against me here. That's kind of what I'm saying. So he's in denial. It's not my fault. It's somebody else's fault. Well, then God turns to Eve and asks basically the same question, and she says, "This is good too." That serpent did it. In other words, the devil made me do it. I mean, man, he's the one. It's not me. And so one of the reasons why we have a hard time answering these questions is because we have a hard time owning up to our own sins, our own disobedience, our own weaknesses. And so we'll say things like, well, it's not my fault because it was really the family I was raised in. Okay, that's the same thing with Adam saying, it's her. It's her fault. The reason why I'm the way I am is because you know, her, you and her. You know, it's not my fault. I was abused as a child. Man, I'm messed up. It's not my fault. You cannot blame me. You need to blame so-and-so. It's not my fault. It was the college I went to, man. If I just hadn't got it all messed up with those friends and did this and did that, my life would be so much different. It's not my fault. I just didn't have a good education. You know, I just didn't. I mean, if I would have known better, you know, I kind of did. Well, here's the thing. Okay, anybody here from Mississippi? Anybody from Mississippi? Good. When I was in high school, the high school in Arkansas, the Arkansas school system, at the time, they had a rating system of the best states with, you know, the best education system, and, you know, and I don't know what the criteria was. All I know is Mississippi was like number 50, okay, last one. Number 49, now I was raised in Arkansas, number 49 was Arkansas. So I came out of a poorly education system. I mean, it was just, you know, anybody could graduate in Arkansas. And so my wife will say, Jeff, you know what that word you just used, that's not a right word, right? You know, it's not a word, right? And I go, hey, I'm from Arkansas. What do you expect? But on a more serious note, we do that all the time. We just blame. We deny. We it's not my fault. I'm a victim in some way. And so because of those three barriers that we see at the very beginning with Adam and Eve, we have a hard time answering these three questions, which takes us to Romans chapter 12, God's answer to the three questions. The first question is, who are you? Well, Romans 12:3 says this. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Watch this. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself to be by the faith God has given you. Now, to understand who you are, you need to be honest about three things. God's word says this, don't think you are better than you really are. Now, this is a warning against pride, okay? This is to the guy who does this. I've got my life together. I am better than them, and I am better than them. Matter of fact, they just need to follow my example because I'm better than they are. Now, it may be true. You may have your life together, but you're not more valuable than they are. In the eyes of God. And sometimes we can get cocky because we've got a certain education or we have certain athletic abilities or we're better looking or our family seems to be better or all that kind of stuff. It just, we can get very prideful. And what God is saying here, he says, look, don't think you're better than you really are. Make sure you have an honest evaluation. Now keep that in mind. That deals with the pride part. God's word also says this: be honest in your evaluation of yourself. Now, this statement can include many things, but one thing it includes is the opposite of thinking too highly of yourself. There are some folks who have an inflated view of themselves. They think they're super spiritual. They think they're really moral. They think they got it all going on. They think they're better than everybody. Then you have those who have a deflated view of themselves. These are the people who say things like I mentioned earlier: I'm a loser, I don't ever win, I won't amount to anything, God cannot use me, I'm horrible, there's no hope for me. I mean, they're down here. They have a deflated view of themselves. But God says, don't think you're better than you really are, and be honest in your evaluation. Let's just be honest here. And this is hard to do for people. Be accurate in your assessment of yourself. Then God's word says this: measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Okay, now here's the deal. You've got to understand, you are not measuring yourself against somebody else. You're not measuring yourself against the next door neighbor. You're not measuring yourself against your brother or your sister. You're not measuring yourself against your parents. You're not measuring against any, you're not, that's not what's going on here. He says to measure yourself by what? What does the word say? Yet by the faith God has given to you. Now this is not, the faith that he's talking about is not the faith when you got saved, okay? Again, he's talking to believers. You're already a believer. He's saying, look, you need to measure yourself by the faith that God has given to you. When he's talking about the faith, he's talking about the faith. Everything that there is in Christ, you know, the doctrine about Christ and who you are in Christ and everything, the faith. God has given you the faith. He's not talking about you have a level 10 faith, they have a level 7 faith. That's not the kind of faith we're talking about. Measure yourself based on the faith. So what does God's word say about you? And so what he's saying is look, you need to step back. Who are you? Well, what does the Bible say? Who are you? Well, the Bible says that as a believer, you are a new creation in Christ. That's who you are. The Bible says that you are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. The Bible says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You see what I'm saying here? The Bible says all these incredible things about you, that you're justified, you stand before God as though you've never sinned. And so this measuring yourself by the faith that God has given to you, you place your faith in Christ, it changes everything. You are a new creation, and you need to quit looking at yourself like the old person. You need to now start seeing yourself as somebody who has been covered in the blood of Jesus, who has been forgiven, who's been redeemed, who has a new future, a new life, a new heart, a new mind. You are a completely new person, and now you have a new nature, which makes you have a new identity. That old you's not you. You still may wear the same old clothes. You may still have the same old stupid haircut. You may still listen to some of the old, your old music, and you may still have some oddities about you that are just, it's just who you are. It's your personality. But your identity, who you really are, well, it's all wrapped up in Christ now. And now you've got to start changing the way you think about yourself to discover who you really are. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying here? Or I should say, this is what God is telling us. Well, this takes us to the second question. Where do I belong? Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this: just as our bodies have many parts and each part has special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. Man, the question really now is, where do I belong? Man, I belong in the family of God. That's the team I'm on. I'm a soldier of Christ. I'm a part of the army of God. I've been adopted into his family. I'm a part of the body of Christ. Who am I? I'm a person who's in Christ and all that means. And now I belong to the body of Christ. And man, I'm going to be consumed with it. That's where I belong. That's where I fit in. That's where I find part of my security. I find it in Christ and with Christ's people. It doesn't mean you avoid all the lost people. It doesn't mean you walk away from the world. It just means now, while you're in the world, you don't have to be of the world. You're in the world, but you're now walking with, I know who I am, and I know where I belong. And this takes us to the third question. What are you supposed to do? Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Well, what he's done is, look, here's some spiritual gifting. Some of you are gifted with certain things, and this aren't all the spiritual gifts, but you've got certain things. And God says, here's what I want you to do. Here's who you are. Here's where you belong. Here's what I want you to do. And so you don't have to be, who am I? You don't got to search for that question. It's already for you. It's in the Word of God. Where do I belong? Well, God tells you, man, you belong in the family of God. That's your group. That's who you are. That's where you wear the badge, man. Get the tattoo. Grow the beard. Put a G right there in it. you know what I'm talking about. That's who you are. You're part of the body of Christ. And I've given you a gift. And here's what I want you to do. And if you've got the gift of, what was one of them? Let me just take a look. If you've got the gift of encouraging, it says, then go do it. Man, some of y'all are just encouragers and you don't do it enough because you don't know who you are. You don't know where you belong. But you've got this gift and you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I should do it. Oh, I don't know. Oh, boy. Oh, my. Well, what if I try to encourage them and I say the wrong thing? I guarantee you probably won't say the wrong thing because if you got the gift, it comes natural to you, supernaturally. Those who with a certain gift, if you have a gift, God's given you a gift, you just kind of fall into doing it naturally. It just seems easy for you. You know, you just kind of specialize at this thing. Can you improve? Sure you can, but you, if you got it, you got it. So let me ask you. Who are you? I mean, really, from God's perspective, who are you? And do you believe it? Where do you belong? Where do you really fit in from God's perspective? And what are you supposed to do? How has God gifted you for your life to be significant? If you'll answer those three questions, Romans 12 gets you started in a big way. It will transform your life. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we just want to thank you so much that you are a great God and that you've got the answers to life's biggest questions. And Lord, for those that are in this room who are struggling with who they are and struggling with who they are in their old nature and struggling with who they are in their new nature, Lord, and they're just trying to figure out who they really are, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to place people in their life that they will wrestle with this question. And Lord, where they belong and what they're supposed to do, Lord, I pray for every one of us, we can come to a point where we are able as your people to answer it with confidence and with assurance based on your word for these three questions in our life. And Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, that you just continue working these principles out in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, if you need somebody to talk to about becoming a follower of Jesus or something about you heard today or something not even related to anything today, you're just struggling with something and you just want to pray with somebody, you got something going on, we've got some folks that will hang out up front, Ben and Rick and Lisa Smith, they'll be up here. They'll be able to glad to pray with you. But if you need to talk with somebody later, fill out a welcome card, place it in the offering box on your way out, and we'll just let us know what it's about and we'll get a hold of you. And I believe God is speaking to us as a church body, but also speaking to us as individuals. Amen. I'm glad we're here today. All right, stand with me. All right, you glad you came to church today? All right, did you worship God today? All right, you receive from his word today? Okay, you gonna do something with it? All right, now don't forget, you're not part of Life Group, you need to be a part of that. If you're interested in being baptized on February 5th, you need to come talk to us so we can talk to you about that. Just let us know that. God bless you guys. Have a great week.